This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This weekly series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on the program today Representative John Bell Williams, Democrat from Mississippi. Mr. Williams, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Dick. It's good to be back.
We've been discussing recently some of the various aspects of the Civil Rights Bill currently being considered in the Senate, or as you representatives would say, by the other body. But I know that you have given this bill a great deal of thought, and of course chances are that it will be back before the House again for concurrence in any changes the Senate might make, that is, assuming that some sort of bill does get through the Senate.
Well, of course, let us hope that if the Senate does pass a bill, that there will be changes from the House bill. Otherwise, the bill will go directly to the President, and all chance of stopping the bill will be negated.
Congressman Williams, many persons have been led to believe that this so-called Civil Rights Bill deals only in the field of race relations, and therefore would have its greatest impact in the South, thereby leaving the people in the North and West free to feel that it doesn't concern them particularly one way or the other. Is this actually the case?
Dick, anyone in the North or West who feels that this bill will not affect them gravely is sadly mistaken. The Civil Rights Bill, which is presently before the Senate, is the most monstrous piece of tyrannical legislation ever considered by the Congress. It was railroaded through the House, and I use that term advisedly. It was railroaded through the House by pressure from some 79 organizations over the country who had representatives sitting in the galleries of the House taking notes on the votes of the members on the floor and making certain that members who were in support of the bill were present to vote on every off-the-record vote that came up. I've even seen members called out from the House chamber and given a dressing down for voting, as they said, with the South on one of the Southern amendments to this bill. I've seen them called from their offices to the floor of the House by these groups seeking to intimidate them into supporting blindly the bill without amendment. Yes, this is a vicious, unconstitutional grab for power on the part of the federal government. And if this bill should become law in its present form, no business, no home, no fraternal organization, no one will be free to exercise his own wishes in the matter of his business or his social contacts or his business contacts.
Congressman Williams, there's one point that I believe needs to be made, and that is that the Civil Rights Bill is aimed at outlawing discrimination, and it defines discrimination very broadly so as to include matters of race, religion, national
origin. Let me say this, Dick. There is no legal definition of the word discrimination in the bill. Of course, the discrimination about which the bill speaks covers the subject of religion, race, creed, color, and so forth.
So that in addition to being used on a racial basis, which is the thing that the backers of the bill claim it's designed to do, it could also be used on religious grounds, could it not?
Oh, of course. Of course it could. And that's one of the things that makes it so dangerous to our system of government and to our society. For instance, let's say that I'm operating a store in a community where there are 30% Baptist and 60% Methodist and 10% Catholic. I believe that adds up to 100. But let's say that a gentleman applies to me who happens to be a Catholic. Let's say that I take a look at his application and I decide that the man is not qualified to hold a job. I don't even ask him what his religion is. But I refuse to hire the man because I don't feel that he meets the qualifications for the job. If this man chooses to file charges against me for discriminating against him on the basis of his religion, then the burden of proof under this legislation devolves upon me to prove that the reason that I did not hire him was not because of his religion. There's no way in the world, of course, to do that.
So that, in other words, under the terms of this civil rights bill, if it should be enacted, the business community would have monstrous burdens of record keeping, not only on basis of racial applications and so forth, but also to compile the records as to the religion of their applicants for employment, so that they can be ready to assure the federal inspectors that they are trying to maintain balance and subject themselves to rather severe penalties if they do not maintain balance.
This bill will become a bureaucratic heaven. And at the same time, it will mean the end of free enterprise as we have always known it in America. No businessman will be free to hire anyone or to fire anyone without first consulting with the government and getting its permission, so to speak, to hire or to fire. And that is just how far this legislation goes into the control of individual businesses and individual lives.
Congressman Williams, let's take a closer look for a few moments at the ways in which people who live outside of the South could be affected by this legislation. People in the North and the West. One thing that has cropped into the vocabulary of many of the news commentators in recent months has been a phrase, de facto segregation. What does this mean?
De facto segregation means segregation not by law but by practice. This is the double standard which is applied, of course. There is less integration in the sense of housing, for instance, in New York City than there is in the state of Mississippi. There's less in Washington, I would say, than there is in the state of Mississippi, of course. The two races do not live within the same homes in the state of Mississippi, but they do live virtually as neighbors, much closer than they do in the segregated suburbs of the large metropolitan centers. Another thing that bothers me about this is the application of the double standard with respect to considering the South's case. To give you an example, for many years, since 1954, since we have been fighting the Supreme Court's school desegregation decision, the so-called Black Monday decision, we have been excoriated by Northerners and pro-civil rights groups for resisting the Supreme Court decision, which they call the law of the land. Just several weeks ago, however, the chief civil rights advocate in the Congress, Congressman Adam Clayton Powell of the state of New York, went over into Maryland and told an audience over there that it was their bounden duty to oppose any law that they felt was not right. In effect, that's what he had to say. There's the double standard. And here again, recently a highly placed federal official who had been invited down to the state of Mississippi to make a speech before a chamber of commerce received word from some left-wing groups that this would be a segregated meeting and he would be speaking before a segregated audience. This man immediately canceled his trip to the chamber of commerce and canceled his speech. But do you know that just about 3 weeks prior to that, I acted as master of ceremonies here in Washington at a tremendous dinner held in the Sheraton Park Hotel, where this gentleman sat as a guest and was introduced to the audience. The dinner was sponsored by a white organization which was not integrated and was attended by not one single member of the colored race. And yet it was all right for him to go here in Washington, but when the time comes to go to Mississippi to speak to a group which happens to be segregated and a distinguished group, such as the Chamber of Commerce, simply because they do not have a policy of desegregation, he turned them down. And that's the hypocritical aspect of this entire case.
Congressman Williams, we've been experiencing some public reaction from around the North in recent months. One thing that many school boards have come up with is a plan to transport children many miles from their homes on buses every day so that they can achieve what they call racial balance in the schools. In the past few weeks, we've seen 15,000 white residents of New York City marching on the Board of Education offices in the midst of a winter snowstorm to protest this busing of school children.
Dick, of course that has become an issue, as you know, in several political campaigns. And not once have the people by their vote approved of that kind of a policy. In fact, everywhere it has been put to the people by vote, it has been defeated, and defeated soundly. I know there was a case in Boston where a lady was running for a school board position. And she was elected on the grounds that she opposed that kind of policy. Then there was a case out in the state of Washington, I believe, and another one.
There have been two elections out there in Seattle and Tacoma on
that's open occupancy housing. That's exactly right.
Forced integration of housing. And in each case, in Seattle and Tacoma, Washington, the vote was overwhelmingly against this forced integration of housing.
That's exactly right.
Do you think this means that the people around the country are beginning to express themselves on this matter?
Dick, that's a very wholesome thing that has occurred in the last several weeks. And as time goes on, more and more American people are becoming aware of what is in this bill and are writing their congressmen. You know, I've had several congressmen who supported this bill tell me in private that they are sorry they supported it, that their mail is running, proportions of 8 and 10 to 1 against the legislation and against his position on the bill. I have had other northern members, and there were very few, I must be frank, but I've had some of the northern members who voted with us on the bill in opposition to it to tell me that it was the best vote they think they ever cast. And actually, they said it took more courage to vote with us against the bill than any vote that they had ever cast in the Congress. But now that they had done it, they were happy that they did do it.
Congressman Williams, our time is all gone by. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dick.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Representative John Bell Williams, Democrat from Mississippi. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.